Thank you, Brother Tom. Psalm 107, it is a longer passage tonight, so I wanted to go right into it. Psalm 107, and the title tonight is Praising the Lord for Our Redemption. Psalm 107. Starting in verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Here, as we lift up the name of the Lord, He begins to lift up our spirit. And you remember that the Psalms here are songs. Whenever we are going through some distress, and this passage is about distresses and deliverances. Distresses and deliverances. Again and again, the Lord will allow us to be led through some distress, and He will deliver us. Ultimately, He will lead us right into heaven, and He will deliver us from all the distresses which we are going through in this life in order to know Him and to please Him, trying to be faithful to Him. Sometimes we are, and sometimes we're not, but He is always faithful to us. And He will do exactly what He's promised to do. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We ask that You would cause our hearts and minds to be tuned to You. We thank You for the great deliverance that You have granted us through salvation, delivered from our enemy, the arch enemy, Satan himself. We thank You, dear Lord, that You will lead us up the mountaintops. You will lead us through valleys, back up the mountaintops, valleys, mountaintops, valleys, all the way home to heaven. We will look into the hills from which cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. What does it mean to be redeemed? Redeemed means purchased by the blood and set free from Satan's domain, sin's enslavement, the law's condemnation, spiritual death, and eternal damnation. All of that is in one word. Let me read it again. What does it mean to be redeemed? It means to be purchased by the blood, purchased by Christ's blood for His own possession. It means to be set free from Satan's domain, sin's enslavement, the law's condemnation, spiritual death, and eternal damnation. All of that in the word redeemed, and a lot more too, actually. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And then when we're in heaven, after that meeting in the air, the rapture, in 1 Thessalonians 4, in Revelation chapter 4, the church is in heaven looking down on earth. Revelation 5:9, we'll be singing a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred tongue and people and nation. 1 Peter 1:18 through 19, For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like underneath the law, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. You didn't naturally come into the family of God through your heritage. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we sing the song, Jesus purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. Hebrews 13:15, By Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Now you'll notice in this passage, verses 4 through 6, and I'm talking kind of fast, aren't I? Have you noticed? Because I'm trying to cover the whole chapter tonight, so hang on, all right. So you'll notice in verses 4 through 6 that the physical deliverances are a picture of the spiritual deliverances. What are they again? The physical deliverances are a picture of our spiritual deliverances. Okay, that's very important as you go through it. Spurgeon said this, famine is more beneficial than feasting if famine brings us to depend upon God. That's the benefit of it. If it brings us to a flat-out dependence on God that we were not experiencing while we were feasting, famine would be better for us. Wow. That's a mouthful. How true that is, though. We find that we pray more often whenever there's some trouble, that some distress that we're going through or some loved one's distress, and I find that to be true of myself. Trouble gives us opportunity to pray through things and that we know that we need the Lord. And so, in this sense, our troubles can turn to be a blessing because they draw us to God. We cry out, and the Lord will deliver us. You'll find out in this passage, he talks about crying out, being delivered, and that we should praise the Lord and thank him for his wonderful works unto the children of men. So in verses 1 through 8, we see the first part of this psalm. And let's go ahead and read starting in verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary place. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their what? Soul fainted in them. That's our complete being there. Hunger and thirst, what are those things? Those are physical distresses. But our soul fainting in us is another thing. That's a spiritual problem. Then they cried unto the Lord in their what? Trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way. The Lord always leads the right way to himself. That they might go to a city of habitation. This is actually Zion, spiritual Jerusalem, the heavenly city. Abraham was led that way, but he didn't enter into it. He went out not knowing whither he went. He was headed toward that city, and he's there now. Amen. It's going to be coming down from heaven, a new Jerusalem. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That's our first refrain right there. You're going to see this phrase over and over again. The Lord is good, and we are to tell it wherever we go. What we will find in life, the longer we go, that every sheep is being led to that heavenly city, but that the true satisfaction of our soul is in the Savior himself. It's not in other things. It's in the Savior himself. So, for instance, in verses 1 through 8, we see in verse 6, distresses. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their what? Distresses. And then in verse 8, we see deliverance. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That's praise for deliverance. In verses 9 through 15, we see in verse 13. Verse 13, they cried unto the Lord in their what? Trouble. And he saved them out of their distresses. In verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. What does wonderful works to the children of men mean? Well, I don't know how God's going to get us through this one. But he will. He will. He'll lead us right through it, and he'll lead us to himself. That's how he's going to do it. He always leaves himself as the answer. Be careful about leaving yourself as an answer. We're not the answer. The Lord's the answer. How true it is. Only the Lord knows all the dictates and mysteries of a man's heart. And he knows what it'll take for that person to be brought to him in dependence. And then in verses 16 through 21, we see the third stanza here and then a refrain. In verse 19, you'll see, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he just saved them out of their distresses. And then the praises in verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now let me go back and read those verses, because before we go farther, we're going to see that happens one more time. So in verse 9, we'll start with the second stanza. He satisfieth a longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And nothing else does. He does. It's himself. Verse 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction in iron. These are ones who are imprisoned, not sure what the Lord was doing. Verse 11, because they rebelled against the words of God and contended with the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor and fell down, and there was none to help. What was the Lord doing here? When his people rebelled against him and turned away from him, what was he doing? He was bringing them to the end of themselves. That's about the best place you can be if you've rebelled against the Lord, is just come down to the end of yourself so that you can look up to the Lord. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor and fell down, and there was none to help. Verse 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. See, the Lord takes us right where we are, doesn't he? Amen. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness. Now he's starting to give them understanding. And the shadow of death, and break their bands asunder. He freed them. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And that are those who just flat out rebelled against him. He'll still deliver them if they look to him. He takes us right where we are. Then again, verses 9 through 15, we saw the distresses in 13. We saw the deliverance in 15. And then our third stanza, 16 through 21, starting in verse 16. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Well, that's all of us at times. When we don't go with the wisdom of God's word, it's foolishness. Verse 18, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. You know, when you don't want to eat, your soul is really afflicted. If your soul is sick, that's one thing, but if your body's sick, that's another. Your soul doesn't have to be sick just because your body is. But sometimes they go together, don't they? Yes or no? So my appetite hasn't been what it's been because I've had a cold recently, still have it. Only eating about a half a plate of food. So that desire to lose a little weight, I think that's happening. Not the way I wanted it to, but I just don't have the appetite right now. So, you know, why push it, right? Verse 18, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near to the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Well, the Lord is so good to us. And then, folks, notice how important this is. He sent his word. How many of you need that tonight? I need a word from the Lord. Well, the Lord's the one who will deliver us. Verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. They were going down a path of destruction, but then they listened to the Lord. He turned them around, and now their healing of their soul has taken place. Any of you experienced that before? I know I have. So thankful for the Lord's word. You know, the devil's always injecting thoughts into our minds, doctrines of devils, on and on. False things that aren't true. But we should be listening to the sent word, and we have it here tonight. And what is the response when you get edified by the word of God, lifted up, built up, the Lord's drawing you to himself and you feel that healing taking place in your soul? What is your response? It's verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then in verse 22, you actually have a elongated pause of praise unto the Lord. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Has the Lord ever done anything for you? Well, open up your mouth and let somebody know about it. It'll be an encouragement to them. And this passage is about him redeeming our soul. He is going to redeem us from all iniquities, doubts, fears, valleys. He's going to draw us all past all of that one day, right into the heavenly home. And we will be in awe when we get in heaven. It'll be a glorious place, filled with God's glory and grace. So we are actually supposed to say, while we're reading this psalm, in this pause, we're actually supposed to say something like this: Lord, I praise you for being my redeemer, and I thank you for your goodness in delivering me from my enemy, which of course is Satan. So why don't we say that out loud? I'll say the first part and you can repeat after me in two pieces. Lord, I praise you for being my redeemer. Okay? Lord, I praise you for being my redeemer. And then the second part. And I thank you for your goodness in delivering me from my enemy. And I thank you for your goodness in delivering me from my enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We're commanded to say we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's our witness. That's our testimony. That's our confidence. That's our security. That's our message. Then in verse 23, he talks about those who go on large ships to do their fisheries and do business. I remember when I was going to Liberty University, there was a advertisement there. And you can make some crazy amount of money over the summer. Positions open. I think it was, might have somewhere been $10,000 to $15,000 in 3 months. But the problem is there kept being open positions. We're not sure if the guy, we're not sure if the guys went overboard and therefore, you know, there's a spot open, or they got sick in the first couple of weeks. You know, it's up and down and all around, and better not tell you any more about it, right? Denise, you can share this with Steve when you talk to him next. Steve told me one time he had a chili dog and got on a boat, and he said, I've never eaten a chili dog. We'll just leave it there. Let me just say, it's dangerous out on the sea. More than in the wonders and awe, when you can go up drifts 30, 40, 50 feet and just drop. Boom. And they really had a respect for fishermen. Sailors when they came in, because they'd been through some rough seas. Good sailors aren't made on calm seas. No, they're not. And good Christians aren't made on calm seas either. Are you aware of that? Did we want to just float on a flowery bed of ease into heaven? Well, we would be like no other Christians in the past, if that's the case. We all have something to try and test our faith. And God knows exactly what is needed just for us to be humbly dependent upon Him. Lord, it's past my strength. I'll be needing your strength. Lord, it's past my strength. I'll be needing your strength. And folks, that's the only place of safety. Only place of safety. So look at it then, the picture here in the ships, verse 23. And they that go down into the sea in ships that do business in great waters. Now he said, some talk about going on the high seas, but here he's talking about the testing of going down into the sea. They go down in the ships and down into the place of testing. Verse 24, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. I remember and Maria laughs at me, but I told her when I was growing up, I had to read Moby Dick. Anybody ever remember that book? Anybody had to read that book? Me and me. Okay, two people read that book. Somebody said, I saw the movie. Well, I got to tell you, when I read that book as, when I was a 10 or 12 or something, it scared me to death. I was afraid of that whale. Wow. The truth of the matter is, some of these guys don't come back when they go out to sea. Some of us won't pass that test and we'll abandon the ship. But folks, we can't abandon the captain. Jesus is the captain of our soul. So we might as well just let go of the dock and let the captain have his way with us. An old preacher told me that one time in the past, and I've tried to help people with that statement in the present day. Just have to let go of the dock sometime and go out on the water by faith and let the captain have his way with us. And we don't understand what's going to take place out in those rough waters, but we know that he'll be there with us. Notice his power, verse 25, power of the Lord. He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. So what lifts up the waves? It's the wind. They mount up to the heaven, 30, 40 feet, some of them. And then they go down into the depths. They drop the same distance. It's like the sea opens up and there's a huge hole. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Yeah, I know exactly. We're going to die. We're not going to make it through this. So the sea is a good place to realize we're going to die unless God helps us. Sometimes our soul is like the troubled sea. And God wants there to be a calm there. Look at verse 27. They reel to and fro, back and forth, staggering like a drunken man. Well, you can't stand straight up on a ship when it's rocking back and forth, teetering to the left and to the right, and are at their wits' end. What does that mean? That means I'm listening to Odyssey, and that's the name of it, Wits End. Yeah, that's what it means. That means we don't know what to do. All of our planning petered out, and now we're just holding on to the captain. We're just trusting the captain with the ship. We don't know what to do, but the captain does. And he knows exactly what he's leading us through for his own glory. And we can get an amen out of that, folks. Because we can praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He's delivered us out of one mess out of another, and he's going to do it again and again and again and again all the way to heaven. Look at verse 28. All that was going on in the sea, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Sounds like the first two courses. He make the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I remember one of those stories in the New Testament. You know, when Jesus said to the winds and the waves, "Peace, be still." You think it's the same person? Yes or no? It's the same person. Thousands of years later. You think God knew what he was going to be doing thousands of years later? He's an eternal being. And he knows what he's doing with us. And he knows how he's getting us to be fully dependent upon him. Here's one of the ways he does it. By bringing things into our life that are beyond our natural reasoning to figure out. That's what he's doing. You know, we can wring our hands. Jesus sitting up there, "Oh, how am I going to work this out in their life? Oh my goodness, I sweat." No, he's not doing any of that. We do that sometimes. So you know what I got to do? Got to let go of the dock. And let the captain navigate on the ship. Jesus is the one that can say into our soul, the boat might be rocking, but he's not rocking. He's standing still. And if it's too tough in the boat, step out of the boat and walk on the water by faith in Christ. You know what? How many of you stepped out of a boat and walked on water? Peter did. The rest of them are still back in the boat. Peter had the spiritual tenacity to actually believe it was Jesus and step out on the water. Well, yeah, he didn't last too long. He took his eyes off the Lord. Well, that's a picture of us too. Now, folks, when we're facing the Lord in a storm, we're walking on the water. And if we don't face the Lord, we're going to sink. But the Lord will still raise us up when we cry out, "Lord, save me." And he will. I don't mean getting born again. I mean deliverance. Verse 29, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. This is in their soul. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. Boy, that was just a wonderful sound. To hear that cling, 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 cling. That chain falling down. That anchor hitting a rock down below. And they could get off of that ship and go to port, their desired haven. What do you think that's a picture of? Tell me. Heaven. If our desire isn't heaven, purity, righteousness, wholesomeness, no sin, no defilement, total beauty, we just don't know what we're missing. There's no glorious place such as heaven. The Holy Spirit has given us a little bit of understanding of what it'll be like, but it's only a foretaste of the glory divine. We're seeing through a glass darkly, but then we'll see the Lord face to face. It means we're cloudy in our understanding of things. Only so much we can take in this human existence right now with regard to the glory of God. But one day that veil is going to be removed, and we're going to see the Lord face to face. So what should our response be? Well, we're delivered from our distresses. Verse 31, third refrain. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Sounds like God wants to be praised. God needs to be praised. God is good, and God is good all the time. The things that we're going through aren't so good, but they're working for good. That's a very important distinction. They will work for our good, no matter how bad certain situations may get. I remember my brother Randy. My brother Randy's a lawyer. Second oldest brother, lived out in California for 20-some years and practiced law out there. He has another practice now in North Carolina, moved back about maybe 10 years ago. I don't remember now. But he was working for a couple guys in a law firm. He just graduated from Liberty Law, and he was working with these guys out there. And then one guy started taking his business. And then he started excelling past other people. Pretty smart guy, you know, biased brother and everything, you know. But anyways, he was doing real well in his business and growing and getting clientele. And then at least one of the guys started taking his business, and the other guy was a little jealous of him. So they called him into the office. 2 weeks he's going to be married. 2 weeks he's going to be married. You know what they told him? It's time for you to go. What? Yeah, it's just time for you to go. So guess what he did? He went. He just went right down the block. He went down the block. Long and Associates. I'm not sure who the associates were. Maybe the dog and the cat. <You know? laughs> But he just went up from there. Well, folks, a troubled sea doesn't mean that it's going to be a shipwreck. It just means the Lord is using certain means to get us to the place where He wants us. You know what? Where the place the Lord really wants us? Total dependence apart from any sight. Everybody there tonight? Total dependence apart from any sight. I don't know how it's going to work out, but my dependence is upon the Lord. And that's the wonders. Just to see how He is going to work it out. And He'll reveal it in time, what He's going to do. 2 weeks, so here He is. He goes in there. Yeah, you know, can I ask, would you allow me to marry your daughter, et cetera, et cetera. Then he goes in. Yeah, 2 weeks. Well, actually, we got married and I was unemployed. So it was like one of those, you know. My guy didn't get a job. Oh, well. But he had enough sense to practice what he knew, and the Lord blessed him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful work to the children of men. I think maybe had he just stayed with those two guys, it would have repressed what the Lord wanted to do in his life all along the way. He needed to be cut so he could fly. And then you have here in verses 3 through 34. Oh, by the way, I missed this elongated praise again. Verse 32. Another elongated pause and praise. So let's just read verse 32 out loud. Verse 32. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. So, folks, we are to be exalting the Lord on a regular basis. His name is to be lifted up, worshiped, and adored. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for the works that He's going to do from them, which will cause them to wonder. That's what it means. And then let's go to verse 33 now. Here we have some sundry, pithy statements concerning His deliverance and leadership into understanding of His loving kindness to us. We need to be led into an understanding of the Lord's loving kindness to us. So we, like sheep in the field, can trust the shepherd while under attack by the unrighteous. While we're under attack from the world, the flesh, and the devil, we can fully trust the shepherd to lead us through. And you'll see these things here. Look at verse 33. He turneth rivers into a wilderness. And what is that? That's judgment. And the water springs into dry ground. That's his power. If he turns off the spigot, he has the power to turn off the spigot. Anybody remember when Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain? How long did it not rain? 3.5 years. And then Elijah prayed again, and guess what happened? Then it rained. And you know what that was? That was a pattern for us to pray. Why did he pray that it wouldn't rain? Because there was so much defilement going on in the land that he asked God to get the attention of the people. And if God stops the water, believe me, there'll be a lot of crying out. Notice what the Lord does after there's a state of repentance, though. Verse 34. A fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. Excuse me, that's the continued judgment. So now you got all the crops drying up. But then you see reviving spirit in verse 35. He also has the opposite power. Verse 35. He turneth the wilderness into what? A standing water. And dry ground into what? Water springs. Because the Lord is a spring in the desert. Okay? The other parts, the dry ground, are us walking through life without acknowledging God. That's going to be a dry time. No, we need to be drinking from the spring of living water, which is the Lord himself. Verse 36. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. Not passing through, but living eternally. Verse 37. And sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression. Now they're being attacked. Different forms of attack. They're brought through oppression, affliction, and sorrows. Those are three different areas in which we can be attacked: spirit, soul, and body. And those things do bring us low, don't they, at times. He pours contempt upon princes, those who raise themselves up, leading people away from the Lord. He pours contempt on them. You remember Nebuchadnezzar, by the way? He's one of those. 7 years, live out in the wilderness like an animal. Then he got back his right mind, and he praised the Most High God who reigneth in the affairs of men. Remember that. So we're rightly thinking when we realize that the Lord reigns, not only in the affairs of men, but in our life too. He reigns. He's Lord. Let him have his way. Verse 40, he pours contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in wilderness where there is no way. They don't know which way they're going, what they're going to do. No leadership. Verse 41, yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction. The poor here are the ones who humble themselves to seek the Lord. He'll raise them up. He'll raise us up when we humble ourselves. He setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. See, like I told you, he's just like leading us like a shepherd. Lead the sheep. And when we see that leadership of the Lord and when we realize he's taking us through something, verse 42, the righteous shall see it, they'll experience his deliverance, and they'll do what? They will rejoice. And all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Any suggestion to sin against God won't be listened to. No thanks, devil. I think I'm just going to listen to the Lord now. About the worst thing we can do in a trial is listening to our own flesh or the devil. We need to be listening to the Lord a whole lot more when we're in distress, because he's seeking a way to deliver us. Verse 43 is the conclusion then. Who is wise? Don't you want to be one of those? Yes or no? Versus being foolish. Who is wise and who will observe these things that have just been written? Even they shall what? Understand the loving kindness of the Lord. What are we understanding? We're understanding that our Redeemer has paid the price for our full deliverance, freed us from sin's enslavement, the law, the curse of the law, from Satan's domain, and made us a child of God through the blood of Christ. We're redeemed. And He's leading us right into heaven. Whoso is wise will observe these things, no matter what they're going through. Even they shall understand what the Lord's doing. The loving kindness of the Lord. The Lord is doing what He's doing in our life to display His loving kindness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wonderful works and His goodness to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let's all stand and sing, "There is a Redeemer." Can you get that for us, Pastor Tom? "There is a Redeemer." What hymn is that?